Turn to Psalm 70, please.
Mountains bow down and bow.
is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your very this is my daily bread. Thank you, Jesus. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken. This is the air I breathe. Your very presence living in me. This is my day. Daily bread, your very word spoken to me. For you.
Thank you, Jesus. Whoa.
This is your hand, oh come dwell. This is your hand, Father, come and dwell. This is your house, a holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely, they bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. Please come and dwell.
Once more.
This is your house. Oh, Father, come and dwell. This is your house. It's a holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely, they bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. Oh, this is your house. Please come and dwell. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You may be seated. We have a few specials this morning.
Bless you. Beautiful atmosphere here this morning.
Thank you. heart's restored and I'm forgiven. Love is here to stay. Love is here to stay.
Thank you.
specials today. My God.
Troubling the water, and when he begins to trouble you, have to jump in. And so I encourage you to do that today. I appreciate all the worship. Amen. Brother Wisdom, thank you so much for leading us in worship. Praise the Lord. And all the songs and the specials that were sang this morning, just everything create a wonderful atmosphere. Is like this, anything can happen. we just come looking for God. He's here to meet us. Amen. Here, give us whatever we have need of. Just a couple things that I want to make mention of. See here, I have a couple visitors cards. Kurtz Jean, amen. We had him here. I saw him earlier. And also, is it Paisley Jean? Paisley Jean, do we have that too? Okay. Well, I had this. Okay. Well, we thank God for that. I know I saw the young man earlier, and he probably left out, but we thank God for him just walking in today. Amen. Who knows what the Lord's doing in his heart? We'll just continue to keep him in prayer. Also, a prayer request says here, Sister Wisdom asking prayer for JJ. He's been having fevers with high temperatures. He was up at 2 this morning with a fever at 100.9. Please pray for his healing. He suffered from having 2 weeks ago and had to go to the emergency room for. Know that God has already answered prayer. Praise his holy name. So we want to pray for JJ, that God would touch his body. Amen. Just deliver him from these fevers. God is able. Amen. God is more than able. We'll take that to God's throne in a second. Just a couple announcements that we want to make mention of. Amen. And we want to wish a happy birthday to yesterday was Sister Alyssa's birthday, Alyssa Bethay, and we want to wish her a happy birthday. And today, Sister Rebecca, amen, on the organ is celebrating her birthday. We thank God for giving her another year here on earth. And also, Brother Orion, amen. Brother Orion's going to be celebrating a birthday on Wednesday. And we got Brother Nehemiah, amen, he's celebrating a birthday on Friday. So thank God for all these birthdays. Just appreciate the Lord Jesus. Amen. And also those that are going on a trip to Arkansas, we need to have the remainder of the money for the bus. The second half of it is due by August 27th. That better be a Wednesday night, August 27th. So keep that in mind. Amen. Those that's going there. And also we'll have our next youth service that we'll be hosting on August 16th. I believe that's the weekend that the kids are preparing to go back to school. And, you know, so we want to have a youth service. I think it'll be very good just to give them a final push as they go back into school. So that'll be a Saturday night, August 16th at 6:30. Amen, here at the church. So keep those announcements in mind. And tonight we'll be back at 5:30 for communion and feet washing. And just invite all the believers to come and be a part of that service. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's take this request before the Lord, and we'll also pray over the word of God. Amen. Today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. God, we are happy that we can make all of our requests known unto thee. We are grateful that we can come and, Lord, present, Lord, everything, because you care. You don't want us to be uncomfortable. We found that out on Friday night. Lord, you want us to experience comfort. So, Lord, JJ feeling a little uncomfortable with the enemy attacking his body. And we pray, God, that you would deliver him from these fevers. You're the same God that touched Peter's mother-in-law. And God, in the selfsame hour, she was back to her normal self doing the things that she normally does. And we ask that you do the same for JJ. God, that you would bring a mighty deliverance, amen, of this condition from to him. And we believe that you are our healer. We believe that you are our Savior. We believe, Lord, that nothing's too hard for you. So we commit him now to your hands, and we look forward to hearing the testimony of praise, amen, as it'll come back for you healing him. We also want to pray over the word of God. Lord, that you would bless, amen, our topic today. And that you would, Lord, bless every ear that would hear. You know the needs of every person in the sanctuary, you know, those that are not here in their needs, and we ask that you would just bless and meet your people at the point of their need. We trust that you, God, would take control over our thoughts, our actions, and that you would get all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles. We will read a couple scriptures here. I think I'd like to turn to Psalms 42. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I saw Brother Albert and Sister Janae. So good to see them. Amen. On today. God bless you. Amen. Psalm 42. Verse 1 says, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Amen. And if I could just read another very familiar passage of scripture out of Isaiah 53. We'll just read the first few verses of that as well today. Thank the Lord. Amen. Isaiah 53 says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. On today, we would like to just take for our topic, worship his majesty. Amen. Worship his majesty. Praise the Lord. You know, when we use that word majesty, what it means is that it's impressive stateliness, it's dignity or beauty. You know, and sometimes when people, especially being here from Florida, if you get into some other parts of the country where there's a lot of mountains and things like that, and you just begin to see the finger of God and the hand of God and how he has designed this earth, you can't help but worship his majesty. Amen. And there's, you know, some great wonders, just natural wonders in the world. Some of the waterfalls that you have maybe had a chance to lay eyes on, and you know, just Grand Canyon and all these great places that you go and you just see it. It's, you know, and when you look at it and the way it's designed and all that, I don't know about you, but I come back with the understanding that there must be a God somewhere, right? It's just no way that these things could happen just by accident. No Big Bang could cause these things to happen, right? But there has to be an intelligence, you know, behind these things. And, you know, and when you begin to just kind of really think on how God does things, you can't help but worship His majesty. I mean, you can't help but just marvel at His great works. And, you know, I remember a little story that the prophet told about this young man. He desired to see God. Amen. He was just... he was going to his mother and he's like, Mama, can I see God? You know, I would just like to somehow lay my eyes on God. Anybody ever felt that way? Amen. I know that I have. I've had imaginations as to where God would sit at. You know, right here in this city. I thought He had a throne right here in West Palm Beach. Amen. And a little building. And when I was a little boy looking at that little building, I said, man, that's got to be where God sit. And as a little boy, that's what I'm thinking. But as I got older, I realized that building was a hotel. Amen. And then also as I got older, I found out God not sitting on the hotel building, but God is sitting in the throne of my heart. Amen. It's the building in my heart. That's where God wants to sit. He wants to dwell there. He wants to be able to control there. Amen. He wants to be able to live there. And I mean, a God so big, amen, could take up a space so small in my heart. Man, I thank God. I just want to worship His majesty. Praise the name of Jesus. But, you know, this little boy had a desire. So, you know, I just want to see God. I've heard about Him in church. I heard the preacher talking about Him. I hear the Sunday school teacher talking about Him. But I just want to see God. Right. And as he began to ask his mother and his mother said, he asked and said, is it any possibility, Mama, that I can see God? And his mama responded, say, son, nobody can see God. Nobody. You know, I mean, just don't worry about it. Just nobody can see Him. So that didn't really settle his spirit. And she said, why don't you go talk to the pastor about it? And, you know, and he went and he talked to the pastor and he said, Pastor, is it any possibility that I could see God? You know, is there any way that, you know, I can get introduced to Him somehow? I just want to see Him. And the pastor said, no man can look upon God and live. So, son, I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to see God. And you know, then they said, why don't you go talk to your Sunday school teacher? And he went to the Sunday school teacher. And the Sunday school teacher confirm what the pastor said. No man can look upon God and live. So the young man still had something that was burning on the inside of him that no matter how many people told him that he couldn't see God, he desired to still see God. And what it is like we just read in scripture, there was a deep in him calling out to a deep. And if there was a deep in him calling out to a deep, then surely there was a deep somewhere to respond to that cry. And if there's one person in this building today that desires to see God, you've never seen Him, but you really want to see Him, you really want to experience Him, that's a deep inside of you calling out to another deep. And if that deep is inside of you, surely there's a deep to respond to your cry. He said, I'm not satisfied. I heard from the pastor. I heard from the Sunday school teacher. I heard from my mom, and that thing is still boiling and burning on the inside of me. I got to know, can I see God? Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I feel that way sometimes, you know, and I'm just, let me just sidetrack just for a little bit. But, you know, the prophet told us that no church can thrive, right, until the supernatural is made known in their midst. Something that they could talk to and something that will talk back to them. Right? So, you know, when, you know, I was just this morning, my dad was there praying over the offering. I'm just happy to hear dad's voice praying over the offering. Right? Amen. Woo, Jesus. You know, and I know sometimes, you know, dad may get a little discouraged because he want the power in his voice. But even if you can just whisper for Jesus, amen, it's still sure we got victory. Right? Amen. Just a whisper shows we have victory. And the testimony of God healing my daddy, it shows that the supernatural God is dwelling in the midst of this church. Amen. Amen. And if God can heal my daddy, God can heal anybody. Right? There is no case too hard for God. If you want to see God, he's here for you to see. If you want to experience God, he's here for you to experience. Hallelujah, church.
Man, I was sitting in the office, I'm coming back to my thought, you know, but as I was sitting in the office, it felt like somebody brought their praise with them. Right? They weren't waiting on Brother Wisdom to get their right song. Amen. As soon as the musicians started, they was already entering in. Hallelujah. I say, Lord, let it rain. Just let it rain inside the sanctuary. Let the Spirit of God just flow freely. Hallelujah, church. Amen. We pray for days like this. We fast for days like this. We have a deep in us calling out to a deep. We want to see Jesus. We want to experience Jesus. And when the atmosphere can get just right, it's unlimited what God can do. I don't know when my family members are going to walk in here. I don't know what day they're going to walk in. But I know when they come, I want them to experience Jesus. And the atmosphere has to be right for somebody to be delivered, somebody to be set free. What's the use in coming to church if people are not going to be delivered? Hallelujah. We take them to a hospital so they can get better. We bring them to church so they can get better. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to his name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated for a moment. But the little boy, you know, say, I done went to mama and I done went to my pastor and I done went to my Sunday school teacher. And, you know, they all say, you know, and they quoting scriptures. No man can look upon God and live. That's a scripture back in the Old Testament, you know. But without revelation, we don't understand what that really means. You know, I mean, yeah, God being as the Father, you know, he had it in such a way where nobody could approach, amen, his holiness. Nobody, right? But God never intended to live like that with his people. He always wanted to be in a place where his people could touch him, where his people could get next to him and feel him and amen, and you know, and he can comfort them. God always wanted to have relationship with his people. You know, so when we see God embodied in Jesus Christ, and Jesus, amen, was able to touch the disciples. And amen, and just be right there, right next to him. And that's the type of fellowship God wanted with man, right? And the disciples had a tremendous opportunity, amen, just living in the presence of the Lord Jesus. But you know, Jesus has come and he's gone. And by him being gone, he still had in his heart that he wanted other people to experience him. Amen. We weren't living back there in the days of Jesus, but we live now. And by living now, we still have this in our heart, a deep calling out to a deep where we won't experience God. So that's why he sends us his Spirit so we can experience him the same way the disciples experienced him. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. So, you know, that boy said, you know, I just want to see him. And one day the boy went fishing. And as he was out there fishing, amen, there was an older gentleman there in the boat with him. And the man began to, just kind of enjoy the water a little bit. You know, sometimes you get out there with nature and you can see some things that just kind of stop you. You make you pause a little bit. And man, you just forget about everything else. And, man, I'm not thinking about telephone calls. I'm not thinking about anything. I'm just here experiencing the Lord Jesus. Right? You know, I'm just here having a moment with my God. And as that man was just sitting there in his boat, he just rowing, and I can just imagine he moving kind of slow, you know. I mean, maybe the water looked calm and a little peaceful that day, and that man just going to enjoy every row. He ain't rushing to get nowhere. And as he's just rowing, the old man is in the boat just rowing and, you know, rowing and rowing. I mean, just kept rowing. And before you know it, while he's rowing, tears begin to come down his face. And the little boy sitting across the boat looking at the old man just crying in the water like, what in the world is, why the man out here crying just rowing? What make him do that kind of stuff? So you know what the little boy said, you know what, I done asked the pastor, I done asked my mom, and I done asked the Sunday school teacher, I'm going to ask him. And the little boy stepped from his side of the boat and got into the middle of the boat, and he got a little closer to the old man and said, I need to ask a question. He says, can anybody see God? And say, before you know it, the old man stopped his tears. And he say, young man, for the past 35 years, I've been out here rowing this boat. And I've been out here just looking at nature. And all I can see around me is God. I see him in the trees. I see him in the fish. I see him in all the animals. All I can see is God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I was just, you know, recently, my wife and I, when we took the little trip to Alaska, you know, we took a few excursions, and one of the excursions they took us on was to kind of drive us closer to the glacier there in Alaska. And as we were, you know, driving through the city there, I believe it was Juneau. Amen. Is that right, Juneau? We were driving through the city, and we got a chance to see a bear, you know, going across the street, running across the street. And, you know, you don't see that here in Florida, you know. I mean, bears running across the street, but, you know, that's just common. And I'm looking at the people, you know, jogging, you know, on the jogging path, but they got signs all up on the road, bear crossing. And I say, now, and the driver was saying, hey, you know, just the other day, a bear passed right this way and passed that way. I say, now there's some people out here running on this street, right? They're jogging on the street, and you got a sign for bear crossing. Now, if a bear run into a human, I don't think the human gonna win, right? And so you got bear crossing signs. So now, how are these people getting out here, you know, within knowing that bear are all over the neighborhood? Why are they out here like this running? So for me, I wouldn't be out there running, right? But, you know, they say, no, what you got to do is, you know, while you running or whatever, take something that make a lot of noise. The main thing you want to do to a bear is not just sneak up on him, right? But you got to make sure he know that you're there. So, you know, as people are running through the streets, you know, they just making all kind of noise. Hey, bear, you know, I'm here, bear. And I'm like, you got to do all that kind of stuff to get his attention. Say, I don't know, I just stay inside, right? But, you know, but... But, you know, this is what people did in order to get the bear's attention, right? Come on now. Now, you know, it's and I find it somewhat amazing, right, that people will go into the streets and yell, hey, bear, you know, I'm here, you know, but they'll come to church and sit down. Why don't we come in the church? Jesus, I'm here to praise you. I'm here to worship. Lord, I need you to see that I made it. I'm here, God. If you do it to get the bear's attention, what will you do to get the Lord Jesus' attention? Hallelujah. But as they, you know, we got to talking, they began to talk a little bit more and taking us on the journey. And, you know, and as we got into a certain area, they begin to talk about a certain time of year that the salmon would come back. And they say these salmon spawn, and you know what? I say, what happens? The salmon is born, and the salmon is in his nature. Y'all just work with me today. I just want to talk. I'm talking about worship his majesty. Because if you can stop and just look at God in nature sometimes, you know, I'm going to just say it like this. You can't be an atheist looking at all that God is doing around us. It's impossible. I mean, you know, that's just absolutely impossible for a person to say, I'm an atheist. God just everywhere, right? Not just in church. God is in nature. You'll find him everywhere. If you go looking for him, you will see him. Come on now. You can't get away from it. But you know, they were saying how the salmon would come at a certain time of year, because what happens is that a salmon is born in a particular area, and when he's born there, nature inside that salmon calls him to leave, and as he's leaving, sometimes he has to leave fresh water to go into salt water, and when he does that, he has to adapt to his new environment. Woo! He has to adapt, and you know, sometimes, you know, this is what happens in the church sometimes. People born in this message, raised in this message, but then they have to change, they change themselves to adapt to worldly atmospheres. Come on now, somebody. They change the way they dress. They change the way they look to adapt to the worldly atmosphere. But I'm going to tell you, something inside that salmon, that no matter how long he stays out in that atmosphere, if he make it past the fisherman's hook, if he makes it past some other animal trying to get a hold of him out there, if he makes it past that, about 4 or 5 years later, no matter how long he's been away, there's something inside that salmon that will cause him to start swimming in the opposite direction. He'll begin to go upstream. And you know, before this happens, there's usually a gathering of the salmon. They all get together and they get in one big group and they begin to go back to where they were born. And it's something inside of them, you couldn't stop them if you tried. They will jump, they will do everything, they can't even jump up a waterfall.
Oh my God.
Please be seated just for a minute. I was watching a little documentary and said these salmon are sitting there jumping up the waterfall, trying to get on the other side, and they have to calculate their jump. They have to calculate that. Okay, now do this water, the pressure coming, okay, now jump. And they get inside that current and work their way right on up the waterfall. And you know what? While they're sitting there trying to do that, there's a bear sitting there with his mouth wide open. Wide open, just waiting for one to jump so he can get himself a good meal. And while we were there, you know, they were talking about how the salmon go through all kind of things. It take 4 or 5 years they get away, but it's something in that caused them to just kind of go back. See, I'm telling you, God is in nature. We can worship his majesty because these same things happen to Christians. I don't care how long you've been away from God. I don't care how far you go down in sin. There's something that begin to push you. Something that pulsates on the inside of you. I gotta get to church. I gotta get back into the presence of God. I gotta get to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't feel worthy, but I gotta be there somehow, some way. If I gotta roll there, roll me there. But I gotta get back to where I belong. The salmon begin to, you know, they begin to really work their way back into the, they have to go back to the area where they were born. I mean, the journey is not completed until they get back to the place where they were born. I don't care how far away they went. And they were saying how, you know, many of the salmon that come back to Alaska, these salmon end up all the way over in China somewhere. All the way in China, but when that certain season comes, when that certain time comes, they all begin to unite and get together and they say, we got to get back to Alaska. Now, they're going for one purpose. They're going for one purpose. And I want to just kind of share a few things here. As they're approaching, they're also going through another thing where their color is starting to change again. And this time when it changes, and because we was asking them, now, you know, y'all eat these salmon, because, man, everywhere you turn, it's salmon this and salmon that. And you're up there in Alaska, salmon everywhere, right? They say, well, now, there's a certain time when it's spawning time, we don't eat the salmon. Say, I say, why is that? Say, because they turn red in color. They turn red, and when they get red, you don't want to eat them like that. I say, y'all don't eat them at all? Say, no, not if we don't have to. Now, don't get me wrong. We, you know, if we ain't got nothing else to eat, we'll eat them red salmon. But for the most part, you know, we try to avoid them at that time because the meat is not the same. I say, well, my Lord. I say, now, you know, here they are turning red and they're coming back, you know, and they got one purpose for trying to get back to where they were born. Oh my God, it's one reason why they want to get back. The reason is that they want to give birth to new salmon. Right? And as they're giving birth to new salmon, come on now. Can I just put it this way? You know, oftentimes when we start running from the Lord, in our teenage years, we get a little rebellious. But all it takes is for you to get some children. When you get your own children, and they get of a certain age, you begin, and the responsibilities that come with raising them children, you realize you ain't got enough strength to do that in your own. Amen.
So you begin to depend on the Lord Jesus to give you some guidance on how to raise them children. And you'll find yourself just like the Solomon, pressing to get back into the presence of God.
Well, salmon get up there and they give birth to the new salmon. And when they give birth, the last thing that happens to that salmon, if he don't get caught by a bear, if he don't get caught by an eagle, if he gets back to his home and gives birth to the new salmon, the last thing that's going to happen after they give birth, them salmon are going to die. They do everything they can to leave the condition that they're in to get back to their place of birth just to die. Just to die. That's the whole purpose of spawning is to get back so they can give birth and to die. Now, the way I feel about that, yeah, we give birth to a new life in Christ, but we die to that old life in the world. That's why we come back. We're not trying to bring the world with us. We're going to die to the things of the world, but we're going to live anew in Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah, church. And I looked at it. I said, we can find God in nature. Just like that young man was looking for the Lord Jesus, and nobody could see it. I mean, until he got with the old man, say, man, I see him every time I look at nature. I see God all the time. So I start looking at this little situation. I say, man, them things what intelligence would make them do that? Why would the salmon, I mean, man, you're living well out there in China. Why would you want to go back home and die? And you can't stop them. I mean, it's just something instinct in them. You cannot stop them salmon from going back. Ooh, Jesus. And if a salmon got that much determination, then a son of God, a daughter of God, bound in the world of sin, got the same type of determination. And if a salmon can make it back, then a son of God or a daughter of God can also make it back. Woo, Jesus. Here they come just to die. And I thought, I said, boy, this is the same thing it was with Christ. When he was faced with a cross, knowing that he would die the worst death that a man could ever die. He would experience something that nobody ever experienced, but yet, amen, he would humble himself in the Garden of Gethsemane and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And he would humble himself. See, the true Calvary was in Gethsemane. When he died to himself, that's where Calvary really took place. The rest of it was just an act. But he really died to himself at Gethsemane. Lord, not my will. Say, if it's possible, let this cup pass. If there's any way that I can avoid this situation, let it pass. But he said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And just like a salmon, he pressed his way upstream, went to the cross and laid there and died. But thank God the story doesn't end with him dying. New life came to all the human race if they would receive it. New life came, and now they can be new in Christ Jesus. Because he rose, I rise. I don't care how low I am in sin, I can still rise. Oh, hallelujah. I don't care how far the devil take me, I got to come back. Come on, God got a bounce inside of me. God got a return on the inside of me. Do you understand what I'm saying? You all heard Israel Holton said he talked about the toy that we used to have when we was young kids. They don't have toys like that no more. But they had that toy that you just blow it up and it's just a big ball of air. Standing there, and what you would do is you would hit the thing, you walk up to it and hit it. And that thing would fall back. But you give it about 2 seconds, come right back up. See, there was a bounce inside that thing, and it could bounce back from whatever condition you tried to put on it. You could sit on it, you could lay on it, you could do everything you could, but as soon as you got up, it would bounce right back.
and it didn't have a lean in it either. It was stand straight up. So when people come back to the house of God, they shouldn't be leaning towards the things of the world. They should stand straight up in the things of God.
That salmon just spoke to my heart. When I looked, I said, man, that thing would press to go through all that just to give birth and to die.
Yes, yes,
just
yes.
To give birth and to die. What about us? Paul said it perfectly. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So no matter what I go through, I'm not concerned about what I have to go through. I'm willing to go through it because I know at the end it's much greater for me. Ooh, Jesus. Let's read a few scriptures. Let's go to Acts. Amen. Acts chapter 21. Look at some of the things that Paul said here. Verse 11. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, this is coming after time where Paul was prophesied, and they told him, say, now you be careful, don't go into Jerusalem, because you know they're gonna bind you, and they're gonna do this and they're gonna do that, and you know all this gonna happen. Don't go down there, Paul. Now in his own will, Paul could have chose to do something else. But because Paul was sold out to and committed to the way of Christ, he was willing to go through whatever he had to go through in Jerusalem. We got to be the same way, church. Amen. Don't run from the trial. Amen. Run to the trial. Come on now. Look at this in Acts 21. It says, when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when he heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Right? I mean, you know, and the salmon is willing to go against everything to get back to that spot just to die. To give birth and to die. What about us in our relationship with the Lord Jesus? Are we willing to die to the things of the world? Are we willing to just give up whatever God wants us to give up and just serve him with everything we have? Hallelujah. It says, and when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. I thank God for a man like Paul that's willing to go through whatever it takes. Amen. In order for God to be glorified in this life. Amen. I like that. Let's, I just want to just kind of get a, let me go back just one chapter, Acts 20. Just turn and I want you to see something. Before Paul even made the comment that, you know, look, I'm willing to go through, you know, I'm ready to be bound. I'm ready. I'm ready to die. I'll do anything for my Lord. Anything for my Lord. I don't know if we got Christians like that anymore. Lord, I mean, if it take death, I'll take death. Most of us gonna stop serving when it get to death. Most of us stop. But wait, now what you say? Death? Now you know it don't take all that to serve the Lord. Well, in the New Testament, Old Testament, there was many that gave up their life for the cause of Christ. Come on now. Sometimes God make things a little uncomfortable for us, and it's okay because God gonna make a way right on through the midst of it. Thank you, Jesus. Look here in Acts 20, verse 22 says, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. I don't know what I'm going to go through when I get there. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But look at Paul. Look at Paul. But none of these things move me. I could stop right there and preach. What are you going through right now? Huh? What are you up against right now? Are your bills behind? Amen. Is your family acting up? Huh? I mean, what is it that you're going through? Is Satan attacking your body? Whatever you're going through, it does not matter. You got to look the devil right back in the eye and say, none of these things. This thing and that thing and whatever else you got, none of these things will move me. Oh my God. I don't know how many feel that way, but bring on the test.
bring on the trial. None of these things move me. You're going to still find me in the house of God. Oh, hallelujah, church. I feel like David, when you don't have, amen, much to praise him with, and sometimes you get so discouraged you don't know how to praise. That's when you need to have a yet praise. No, I don't feel like praising him, but yet I still will praise him. Come on now, you got to have a yet praise on the inside. None of these things, nothing going to move me. Death, nor life, nor things present, nor things to come. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Nothing will separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. I don't serve him because of the things that he blessed me with. I serve him because of what he did for me at Calvary. None of these things, none of these things, none of these things move me. Oh, Jesus.
Man, you're going to hear me talking about giving up and quitting and all of that. No matter what I'm going through. Amen. What the song say, help me to say hallelujah. Whatever I'm going through, help me to say hallelujah. Woo! Man. This was before Paul was bound. And Paul, I mean, and everybody, even the saints trying to encourage him, don't go. No, 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 y'all don't understand. Say, I mean, I'll give my life. For this gospel that I believe. I'll give my life for it. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Jesus loved you so much that he gave his life for you. Why don't you love him so much that you'll give your life for him? God, whatever you're asking of me, I'll do it. Whatever you need from me, I'll do it. Come on, somebody. Let me finish reading this scripture. Paul says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Wait a minute. Now, Paul, you're getting ready to die. You realize that, right? But you can approach death with joy? Come on, somebody. These things don't make no sense, just like it don't make sense for a salmon to go upstream against the current just so he can die. But we can find God in the midst of that salmon story. We can find God right there. And we got to have the same type of determination. For God, I live, and for God, I'll die. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You get one or two amens on that. But that's the way I feel anyway. For God, I live, and for God, I'll die. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Look at it, says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. Can I just read a few more scriptures, and I'm going to make some comments as we go along, amen, reading the scriptures. Here in Deuteronomy 32:11, and I'm going back and I'm looking at God, amen, in nature, and as we look at him, it helps us to worship his majesty. We see how majestic he is and how he designed certain animals to do certain things. We can get strength from as we just watch the animals. Come on, let me just read this scripture. It says here, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, heareth them, and beareth them on her wings. Now, you know, I said we can get strength as we see nature. And I'm reminded of a testimony the prophet gave, and how he was one time in out there in the woods, and you know, he said he got about 30 miles away from civilization. And he was just out there, and say while he was there, he just began to think about the Lord. And as he started thinking about the Lord, he said he just began to run around a tree and shouting to the top of his lungs, just praising God, worshiping in his majesty, right? Just praising God like crazy. And if you ain't never had one of them moments, I'm going to tell you, it's a good feeling. It's better than any high. It's better than any drink.
Huh? When you get one of them friends where you're just so in love with God that, amen, you can't help but just yell and scream. You be done lost your voice. And people be asking, well, what happened? You sick? How you lose your... I was just praising God. Then I just start praising God and couldn't stop myself. And I lost my voice. That's a good feeling. So as you out there just running around the tree, just praising God, he said a storm began to come. And as the storm come, you know, he kind of got behind one of the trees and waited for the storm to pass over. And, you know, and when he finished, you know, the storm finished and he was standing there, say he heard a great sound, an elk was calling. And he say, you know, say what happened was that the elk got separated from the herd. And when it got separated from the herd, it just began to call. Now, what is that? A deep. Amen. Calling to another deep. Right, and if there's a deep, if that elk said, now I know I was with the elk. And I know they can't be too far from me, so let me just begin to call out to the other elk. And if there's a deep in me come out, there's got to be a deep on the other side to respond to my cry. And before you know it, the other elk begin to cry back. And they begin to cry back and forth because as they were listening to the calls, they could draw closer to one another.
Yes, sir.
Somebody's calling for Jesus. And there's a Jesus to respond to your call. The coyote began to do the same thing. They began to call. They got separated because of the storm. And that's what happens to people because storms come into our lives. We get separated from the flock. Woo! But just like, but when we get separated, all we have to do is start calling. Oh my God. Amen. The Lord will draw nigh to those that will call on him. So there he was. He starts seeing the coyote calling. He say, "Lord, that ain't. I just hear you. That's like God calling to me. And when God begin to call, you got to answer. When God begin to deal with your heart, you got to respond. Right? God begin to deal. I mean, God just begin to deal with the prophet. And he just begin to cry and just praise God. And as he was worshiping there, and you know, he just got caught up in the spirit. But all of a sudden, he said, it just kind of stopped. The atmosphere changed. And when he stopped, he saw this little chipmunk down there just making a whole bunch of noise. He said he the police in the forest, right? Just making all kind of noise. He said, "Lord, why would you stop me from praising you to listen to all this chatter, to listen to all this noise?" And sometimes you can find yourself in a real wonderful atmosphere, and you wonder, why did God stop you from that atmosphere to listen to all the chatter and listen to all the noise? But if you just wait long enough, you'll see God in the midst of all the chatter and in the midst of all the noise. There he was, and he say, "What is it?" And he say, "Saw an eagle down there that come down from the storm." And he was down there, and the eagle just kind of just sitting there like that. The prophet was looking at him. And the prophet said, "Now, do you have any fear?" And he say, "If the eagle could talk back," said, "No, I'm not afraid of you." Now you say, "You know, if I wanted to, I could take my gun and get it, and I'll shoot you before you can get out of here. You're not afraid of me?" The eagle just...
My Lord.
See, this is the way we got to be. I don't care what the trial is. I don't care what the tribulation is. Just come on, you got to rest your wings a little bit. Because you got to know the power that dwells on the inside of them wings. What wings are you resting on? The Old Testament and the New Testament. Every promise that God gave you, just rest on the promise. That eagle just sat there like that, just kind of holding his wings together, and, you know, just kind of test them, just make sure they was there. And, you know, he can feel the power in them wings. Like, man, I know just in a few seconds I'll be out of here. Before you even get your gun, I'll be gone. As soon as you turn your back, I'll be done lifted up out of this thing. But I'm just here for a little bit for right now. Say, you know, so the eagle's sitting there and, you know, listening to all the chatter. And that's what some of us doing. We listen to a lot of chatter. But you are an eagle.
Amen.
You are an eagle. You can fly above chatter.
Amen.
See, that chipmunk can't go where you can go.
All right.
That chipmunk can't live where you can live. So don't you worry about the chipmunk. God gave you something special to get above all the chatter, to get above the storm. God gave that to you.
Yes.
Come on, you are an eagle this morning. Sat there just listening. He said, "Brother Branham watched and said, my God, what is this?" And he said that eagle trusted them wings that God gave him. He had confidence that as soon as I reached for it, that God would be, the wings that God gave him, he'd be able to take that and use it to get right out of my sight. Just a couple flaps, he'd be up and then just spread and soar.
Not working too hard, just spread and sow. Oh, my God. I want you to be able to do the same thing. God wants you to be able to do the same thing. Spread and sow. Stop living a life of defeat. Stop living, amen, like your God ain't got no power.
Come on, brother. Amen.
Amen. Stop living like that. Your God is all powerful. And all he wants you to do is trust what he gave you. If he don't give you nothing else, you got enough if you just pick up the word and begin to use it. But as I was just looking, amen, at the eagle, I was looking at the message, listening to the message, as the eagle stirreth her nest and fluttereth over her young. And I can't read all of it today, but I give you the message where you can go back and get in there. But look at, Brother Branham made some comments about the eagle. It says the eagle means speeder with the beak. Pretty much they have to, the way that they give their food is that they, from mouth to mouth, they have to give the food. From mouth to mouth. Now, you know, and that's the same way that we get our food, right? Because the Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It comes from God's mouth to our mouth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. All you got to do is digest it. Amen. Hallelujah. It comes from God's mouth to our mouth. That's how we get our food. The other thing about an eagle is that an eagle don't eat dead things. An eagle have to have what we call fresh kill meat. Oh my, y'all help me this morning. An eagle got to have fresh. An eagle don't want what buzzards eat. Huh? A buzzard can, I mean, that thing can be dead for days. Blowing up flies all over it. The buzzard will go flap his wings and get all the flies away to start tearing into that carrion. And my, it stinks, it's rotten, it's no good, it'll make the average bird sick. Can I talk to you this morning? Because in the spiritual realm, this is what happened. We're eating, amen, in denominational churches where the word of God is not fresh anymore. Huh? But we got to get somewhere where there's some fresh kill meat. Fresh revelation coming from God. Not something to stimulate your intellect, but something to stimulate your spirit, man. An eagle wants to eat fresh kill meat. Can't stomach it. I've been to visit certain churches, and man, they get to going, and you're thinking, boy, they got a little something. Next thing they say something, man, that's way off the word. Like, oh, God, I can't stomach that. The reason you can't stomach because you're an eagle,
right.
And you were built for a special diet.
Yes,
man, when we was up there, there was a big eagle, not even a farm. It's just the way it was a hangout. Typically, you see eagles, they fly, they kind of by themselves. Eagles stand alone. When ain't nobody else going to stand with them, an eagle will stand alone.
My Lord.
Yes, sir. Huh? Eagles don't depend on other birds to follow them. They know other birds can't follow them. Can't go where they can go. Can't fly as high as they can fly. Can't get where they're going. Right? The eagle knows that you can't get here. You know, ain't no sense. And you know what? And I'm not criticizing you. God made you that way, right? You, God made you a crow, you a crow, right? God made you a buzzard, you a buzzard. But God made me an eagle. I didn't ask God for this. He just made me this way. And since he made me this way, I'm going to use everything I got for God. If, since I'm an eagle, I'm not going to be satisfied. Now, you may find me dwelling with chickens, but I'm not satisfied dwelling with chickens. I may have to sit there with the chickens and eat some of their cluck cluck. I might have to do that for a season, but there's something inside of me looking for more. And when more comes, I gotta get to more. And let me tell you something, when an eagle finally get a real good meal, an eagle not going back to the chicken house to eat no more.
Oh,
my God, my God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, eating good costs you a little bit more. A good meal costs you a little bit more. You know, I mean, everybody don't want to eat like that. Because of the supply. You know, you can't, when you want to eat good, they're not going to have a dollar menu. Real good restaurant, Don't even go in there looking for a dollar menu. Don't go. Please don't do that. Don't embarrass yourself like that. If you want to go to Dollar Menu, go to Burger King. Go to McDonald's. Go to Wendy's. It's certain restaurants and certain categories that will offer you that kind of food. We're not serving Dollar Menu here. You can't get it. We don't have it. We don't even have those items on the menu. Huh? Eagles understand exactly what I'm saying here. Right? You can't get this food everywhere. We realize we got a special diet. Because eagles are built to eat special. Oh my God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, church. And you know, when you recognize that you're an eagle, you know, and you know, like the prophet gave the story of how that eagle was dwelling in the chicken yard. And because the eagle egg got lost, it was dwelling in the chicken yard. And that mama said, now, I know I had a couple. I had one more egg. I don't know where it is. But that egg was down there in the chicken coop. And as that eagle started growing up, and now it'll hatch. Remember, Lord, I'm off my notes and everything, but I have to say it. The eagle will hatch in the chicken coop. Because it just takes a certain environment, a certain warmth that causes it to hatch. Yeah. Right? But as that egg opens up and it hatches, and maybe as a little baby, they look, but I can't tell the difference. You know, they look like birds. Mm-hmm. Right? But you let it just start eating and growing. Yeah. All of a sudden this little eagle, you know, they having flight lessons in the courtyard, in the barnyard. And here their flight lessons, the mother chicken say, now, y'all chickens, this is how you fly. Start back here and just run and just launch a little bit, right? And the little chickens, they start running, boy. And when they let it go like that, they come right back down. They start flying for a little bit, but they come right back down. Say, now, you look a little funny, but we don't know what you are. You go ahead and do it, too. And he run. And all of a sudden, he not coming back down. Say, hey, what you doing? Come on back down here. Come on back down here. Hey, what? I don't know what that was. I don't know what hit me there. I don't know. But you regularly tell him, don't you go to flight school no more, because we might lose you. I hope y'all with me. You might not come back. So you don't go to flight school no more. You stay here with me. And then he get a complex because he don't realize, he know that there's something on the inside of him that's a little different than all the other birds. He get a complex building up. And maybe they start calling him all kind of names too, like Holy Roller. You too religious. It don't take all that. You done heard some of that stuff told to you, right? You ain't got to dress like that. You ain't got to look like that. Yes, I do, because I'm an eagle. I can't help the way I look. I can't help the way I dress. I can't help my diet because I'm an eagle. Boy, they be working with that little fella too. Look, man, you know, it's, man, come on, man. Come on. Don't take all that. Well, why are you so different anyway? I have no idea why I'm the way I am. I've been trying to figure that out. But one day, up in the sky, uh-huh, come this really big bird. And they look at it and they hear the scream. I can't do it. But just a. And I can see all the chicken. All the chickens start grabbing their ears like, what in the world? And I'm going to tell you another thing about a chicken. Chicken will get afraid. Oh. Nature and the chicken knows that bird's a little bigger. And not only that, but an eagle will eat a chicken. So when the mother hen hear that, y'all get on in the house, get on the, you know, be careful about the bird like that. But that eagle standing out there in the chicken coop like, oh my, I ain't never heard a sound like that. Pretty much what I'm saying, I ain't never heard preaching like that. ain't never put, how did they tie God into nature and make me see? Where did this come from? I ain't never seen nothing like that. All of a sudden that eagle said, boy, that's something. I'm going to go back in here. It's like, you know, and mama said, okay, I know where he is. I done seen him. Give it a day or two later. Come by. Out there in the chicken guard again. And then the eagle don't realize it. Just something on the inside of the eagle. Like, I ain't never heard that, but I'm going to try it. And the mama and the baby just begin to, what is it? Deep, calling to a deep. And there's got to be a deep somewhere to respond to that cry. And now they're having conversation. Things that the chickens can't understand. Are you out there speaking in tongues? What you doing out there? No, it's just an eagle crying to another eagle. The third time that mama eagle come by and just start screaming again, that eagle said, yes. And now the mama say something, that eagle said, now just flap your wings and come on out of there. Mama, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Just start flapping. Well, they don't have the running board out here, mama. I need the running board. No, you don't need that running board. It's something on the inside of you that will cause you to lift up out of that situation. It's something on the inside of you that'll bring you out of that condition. There's something on the inside of you. All of a sudden, that just flap him, boy. Just flap him. Just flap. All of that boy just begin to flap before you know he lifts himself right on out. Right on out of the situation that he was in. And I'm going to tell you, if you can just see God today in nature, you can worship in his majesty, you can come out of whatever you are in today. Oh my. When Brother Bradham saw that eagle, and that eagle said he had confidence in his wings. We got confidence in our wings, the Old Testament and the New Testament. We got confidence that no matter what danger we're in, these wings would get us out of that danger. Another thing about an eagle. Oh, y'all just bear with me. A couple things here. An eagle knows how to renew his youth. Oh, God. Can I just read a scripture about it? Let me just read just one scripture, and I'm gonna try to bring this home. I got a lot more I want to say. Oh, God. Let's read Psalms 103, starting at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Eagle knows how to renew its youth. It's built into the eagle. Psalms 103 says this, a psalm of David, bless the Lord, O my soul. Says, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I ain't going to give God part of me. But everything that's in me, I'm going to bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And I'm going to tell you, I like the way David writes. You know, he not bless the Lord when I feel good. Not bless the Lord when I got money in my pocket. Not bless the Lord when all my bills are paid. And when, you know, bless the Lord, oh my soul. That's the inside of you. Right? That dwells, I mean, and whatever comes from the inside of you will dominate or control the outside of you. So David say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The eagle knows how to renew itself. Now, and what Brother Branham was saying here in Eagle Stirreth Her Nest, he says now, you know, it's not an age. It's not renewing the youth in age, but it's in action. In action, in action. And what I got from that, you know, he said he can be almost gone, but will come back. Right. And what happens with the eagle is that as time goes on, that eagle's eye begins to get a little crusted. And his eye just begins to close, and he's not able to see as good as he used to see. And he realizes that if he wants to get that crust off his eye, there's some things that he's going to have to do in order to get his youth renewed. So that eagle would begin to fly way up into the top of the mountain, and he'll find a nice, sharp rock. And when he get next to that rock, that eagle just begin to take his head and just sling it against the rock. Beat his head against the rock. Just keep hitting the rock. Oh, my God. Amen. And if I can just tell you today, the rock is Christ Jesus. Amen. And sometimes all you got to do is, amen, you can do a couple things. You can hit the rock, but if you're going to hit it, only hit it once. Don't get in trouble like Moses did. The other thing that you can do that Moses should have done is you can speak to the rock. The rock is Christ Jesus. So just begin to speak to Jesus. Begin to talk to Jesus about what you're going through. Amen. He can feel and amen. He can actually secure and understand what you're going through. Amen. Like we said on Friday night, he cares. Yes, he cares. Amen. All you got to do is speak to this rock. Amen. Speak to the Lord Jesus. That eagle just began to slam his head up against the rock. And as he's hitting the rock over and over again, blood began to come from his head. But just because he feels the blood, amen, it does not stop him. He's going to keep pressing until them scales come off his eyes. An eagle knows how to renew his youth. And once those scales come off, the blood can be all over the place. It's like a prayer meeting. Boy, you done had a nice long prayer meeting. You come out sweating, crying. But by the time you come out, you know everything is all right. That eagle's the same way. When he get through that experience, he can go back and be with the rest of the crowd. He can see again. Oh, my, because the scales have come off his eyes. He had to go through a process, but he was willing to go through. We got to be willing to go through some things ourselves. Look at this. When an eagle builds its nest, a couple things that it does not build its nest low on the ground. It builds it very high so that coyotes can't get to it, so that snakes can't get to it, so that nothing can get to it. And can I just say it like this? Since we eagles and we have to build a nest, we have to build it high. Yeah. That means we have to set our standards high. Yeah. The reason we set our standards high, because we don't want just any devil. Amen. We don't want devils getting to this. Amen. Come on, you can't fake this. Amen. If you're a believer, you're going to have to live like a believer. You got to act like a believer. You have to dress like a believer. Amen. Right? Amen. Amen. See, we have to set the bar real high. Yeah. Man, why y'all set it? Because we eagles. Yeah. Yeah. Eagles do these things. Yeah. Right? The eagle set it way up high. Amen. So that a snake can't get to it. So a coyote can't get to it. Nothing can get to the nest of that eagle. And the other thing that the eagle do is, he make the nest out of rabbit skin or lamb skin. After he done grabbed the lamb and tore that thing to pieces and they done ate up something, he saves the skin of the lamb. And he takes the lamb skin. I mean, they just put it to the side. And when it's time to build that nest, they go in to get that lamb skin and they come and lay it in the nest. Why would the eagle use the lamb skin? Because we need the Lamb of God. Amen. And when we've been, amen, contaminated by sin, we can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And then covered in his skin. Amen. I thank God that we can see him in his majesty. Just one more. I just want to talk about one more animal. We read about it earlier. David said, as the deer panteth for the water, so does my soul long for thee. Now, why does David use terms like this? Because you can see God in nature. Yes. So what happens to a deer is that when the hunter goes out to hunt the deer, they send the dogs out. Maybe the dog might, get that deer and a couple of them surround them. And they're trying to get that deer down before, you know, before the hunter gets there to try to get him. They're trying to get that deer down to the ground. One trying to grab him right underneath his neck in his jugular. The other one trying to get him in the back part in his hind feet. And I'm going to tell you, some of us been surrounded by devils. And even right now, we surrounded by devils. Them devils are trying to take us out. And if you don't have something on the inside of you to try to fight them devils off, you will get taken out. But the deer has something on the inside. Look, I ain't going down like that. That deer just began to jerk and shake and everything else. I mean, just moving in all kind of directions. I know you might have me trapped, but I ain't going down like that. And maybe one of them animals he shake the one from getting his jugular, because once they get that throat, that's you good as gone. So he said, I'm gonna have to take a hit in the back. But I ain't gonna let the one get my juggler. Come on, you got to have some strategy with the devil. I ain't gonna let him get my juggler now. I mean, he might hit me in the back, but I can work with that. Right? So maybe one hit him in the back and he started bleeding, and he said, but he didn't get my juggler. And he jerked and he just began to run. But the way that blood is coming, if that deer don't get to a certain place in a certain amount of time, he'll die from the blood that's running from him. So the deer begins to sniff and he's looking for some water. All he got to do is get, amen, to the water. If I can just find a little bit of water, if I can get to the water, I'm going to be all right. I don't care about the hunter. I don't care about the hounds. All I need is to get to the water. Woo, hallelujah. And when that deer finally makes it to the water, he begins to drink the water, and no longer can the dogs find him. No longer can the hunter find him, because he's found a way of escape. Amen. Just by getting to the water. Amen. Jesus is the water. If you can just get to Jesus, boy, he'll make everything all right. Oh my God, he'll turn things around. He'll fix it, church. He'll fix it. If you can just get to Jesus. Not just to the church, but get to Jesus. Huh? Not just to the message, but get to Jesus. If we can just get you to Jesus, everything gonna be all right. Come on, somebody. Let's worship his majesty. We find God just in everything, all nature we find him. I got something here I just want to read to you, and I'm going to let you go today. I just praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let me see if I can just find it. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Give me this out of demonology. Let me have the musicians come. Praise the Lord. Says this, for instance, like this: when Jesus died at Calvary, what elements came from his body? Water, blood, spirit. Is that right? Now, any believer knows that that's what constitutes the new birth. Is that right? That constitutes the new birth. St. John. For there are three that bear record of water, blood, and spirit. When they pierced his side, water and blood came out. He said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Those elements went from his body, and it takes those same elements to bring you to his body. That constitutes the new birth. So you have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You also get washed by hearing the word of God, the water of the word of God. Amen. That's how we get washed, church, right? And we need the Spirit of God to come on the inside of us to make us live the life that God is requiring us to live. Listen, now what constitutes the natural birth? It's a mixed audience, but listen, the first thing is water, blood, spirit. Everything in the natural and spiritual all tied together. Watch. Get acquainted with God. And you'll see his great move in nature. You'll see him in the sunsets, in the flowers, in everywhere. You can see him all around you because he is all around you. That gives you perfect confidence that you're in love with him and he's in love with you. He loved you, predestinated you, foreordained you before the world began, has brought you here, saved you, cleansed you up, and filled you with his spirit. Well, how could you have doubt? See, that gives you a perfect setting of faith. When you know those things, that gives you courage, and my, you know where you're standing. The other thing Brother Branham said about the eagle, when he saw that eagle there in the brush, and the chipmunk just yelling and screaming, and he had his gun, and said, man, I can get you anytime, I can get you with my gun before you get out of here. So that eagle just kept flapping his wings because the eagle knew exactly where he was standing. So ain't nothing you can do to me that will hurt me. I'll use everything I got to get out of here before you can use what you got. Church, we got to use what God gave us. Let's worship his majesty. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that we can see you, Jesus. Lord, all in nature. Because many of these animals type us. Many things that we go through here on earth. God, as just even there listening to the guy talk about the salmon and all that the salmon go through just to get back to the spot that they were born, just to die, to give birth and to die. God, I just begin to meditate and think about that, and just reminded me of what you did, Jesus, when you came to this earth. You left your throne in glory to bring to us redemption story. And God, you would struggle there at the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing the death that was ahead. But Lord, you would pray, and in your prayer, great words came out. As if the cup could pass, please let it pass. And you struggled there in the garden. But Father, you said, not my will, but your will be done. When you felt that all heaven had shut up and no one was hearing your prayer, but yet you came to a spot where you could surrender your will to the Father's will. Lord, it was a tremendous, tremendous sacrifice. You knew that you would go to the cross and there would be people that would spit on you and shame you and call you all kind of names. And God, you knew that there would be people that wouldn't even accept what you did for them at Calvary. You also knew that there would be some that would come into this earth that would greatly appreciate the sacrifice that was done at Calvary. God, some of those people are in this building right now. We appreciate what you did for us. We worship you, Jesus. We bless you and we thank you. There's no God like our God. No king like our king. No Savior like our Savior. God, we love you. And as our heads are bowed, if there is one, amen, that's here today that does not know the Lord Jesus in the pardoning of your sins, I want to give you an opportunity to get to know him. I just want to ask that if you don't know him and you want to know him, that he spoke to your heart today and you want to draw closer to him, just lift your hand right where you are. Just lift your hand right where you are. If you want to know him while our heads are still bowed and our eyes are closed, just lift your hand right where you are if you desire to know him better. Praise the Lord. God sees your hand. Underneath your hand is a heart. If your heart is sincere with God, I truly believe he'll meet you right where you are. I just want you to talk to him in your own special way. And amen, if you're a sinner and you want to be saved from your sin, just begin to confess to the Lord in your own way. God, I need you. I acknowledge in your presence right now that I am a sinner. God, but I want to be saved by your grace. God, I ask that you would come and make the difference. Come into my heart and make the difference. I long for you. I yearn for you, Jesus. there's a deep in me calling out to a deep. And I heard today that there's a deep to respond to my cry. So, Lord, I pray that you would respond. If that's you today, just talk to the Lord in your own special way and allow him to just respond to the cry of your heart today. God, you see the hands that have gone up in this place. You know the needs of every heart. And God, I just commit these hands, I commit these hearts to you, that you would, Lord, draw close to them as they desire to draw close to you. God, make the difference in their lives today. Only you can make the difference, Jesus. We believe your presence is here to do something for someone. God, we just bless you. We thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you promise to do in our lives. God, our hope and our prayer is that each and every one of us would draw closer to you. We need you, Lord. We recognize it. Bless us now, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Come on, let's sing with all of our hearts. There is none like you. So no one else can touch my heart like you do. Like a search for all eternity. None like you. Sing it again. There is none like you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, and no one else can touch my heart like you do. Jesus, say you are holy, oh, so holy. What a privilege and an honor to worship at your throne, to be called into your presence as your own. You are holy, you are holy, oh, so holy. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you are holy, oh, oh, so holy. Oh, what a privilege and honor to worship at your throne, to be called into your presence as your own. Oh, you are holy, yes you are. Hallelujah, yes, say you are holy. Thank you, Jesus. Oh,
What a privilege and an honor. What a privilege and honor to worship. Oh, to be called presence as the Lord.
Hallelujah. Come on, put those hands together. Let's worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We just want to worship Him just a little bit, church. Worship His majesty. He's a mighty God. He's a good God. He's a loving God. There's no God like our God. Thank you, Jesus. We stand in courage. We stand strengthened in the Word of God. We're able to face whatever trial that's thrown our way. Our God will not leave us alone. He'll be right there in the midst of that trial with us. Come on, let's sing this song. To worship You I live. To worship You I live. I live to worship You. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice to heaven. To worship You. Say, to worship You I live. Hallelujah. To worship You I live to worship You. Oh, say, oh. Worship You, I live. Say, to worship You, I live. Yes, to worship You, I live to worship You. Hallelujah, to honor You, I live. Oh, to honor You, I live. You, I live to honor You. Oh, 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 oh. Worship You, I live. Say, to worship You, I live. Hallelujah, to worship You, I live to worship You. Oh, to worship You, say, to worship You, I live. Hallelujah. Worship You, I live to worship You. Oh, 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 oh. Sing it one more time. Oh, 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 oh.
lifted, say, oh, 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 alleluia, oh, 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 oh. We praise you, O God. Oh, 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 everybody to worship you, say, to worship you I live, oh, to worship you I live, I live to worship you. Oh, yes, I do, Jesus, hey, to worship you, to worship you, I live. Oh, to worship you, I live, to worship you.
Come on, give him praise. Somebody worship him this morning. This afternoon, worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, oh God. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Solomon, if you would come and just close the service for us today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He's worthy to be praised, church. He's worthy. He's worthy. God bless you.
Says, Lord, we live to worship you. With all that we are, Lord, we live to worship you, Lord. Father, just to hear your truth, Lord God, it draws a worship from within, Lord, from the depths of our souls, Lord. Lord God, we are worshipers, Lord. We're your children, Lord. In your presence, Lord, we fall in love over and over and over again. Father, sometimes, Lord, we, in life's journey, Lord, we sort of lose sight of that first love that we have for you, Lord. But, Lord God, we want to go back to when we first fell in love with you, Lord. Father, when truly our worship was pure, Lord, it was innocent, Lord God. Lord, there was nothing barring, Lord, our worship, Lord. Lord God, our hearts, Lord, was just simply to love you. Father, may that always stir up within us, Lord, as that deep calls to the deep, as your coming draws nigh, Lord, may we draw closer to you. Father, may our hearts beat one heartbeat with you, Lord. One love, the love of God, Lord, perfect love pulsating within us. Lord, draw it from us, Lord. Draw it from us, Lord. Help us, Lord God, as we leave this place to walk in your love. Lord, and may our worship continually be in our hearts and upon our lips, Lord, as we leave this place. Father God, we ask your blessings upon our pastor, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful word that we heard this morning, Lord God. Lord, help us to recognize, Lord, when we step into this place, Lord, we sing the songs of Zion. We are not entertainers, Lord, we're worshipers. We come here, Lord, to worship you. Though we entertain you, Lord, we worship with one another. And Father God, we ask, Lord God, that you continue to strengthen him, continue to give the word of life to our brother, that he may feed your sheep, that he may feed these little eaglets, Lord, the eagle meat that we so desire. And Father God, we ask your blessings upon this congregation of your children, wherever your little bride is, Lord God. May the love of God pulsate within them. Lord, we love you. We commit ourselves to you, Lord. And may this word that we've heard, Lord, may we meditate upon it. May it find resting place in our soul. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. You all may take your seats. We'll sing this little song together as our brothers come to dismiss them. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, I want to go back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. I need you to take me back.
Thank you.